Mark Peterson is a Napier GP with many roles in the healthcare sector. Not only is Dr. Peterson the chair for NZMA, he is also the chief medical officer of primary care for Hawke's Bay DHB and a board member for the Royal New Zealand College of GPs. A GP for the past 25 years, he is also on the roster for a local GP run after hours clinic in Napier. From experience alone, it is obvious Dr. Peterson can provide a lot of insight into what challenges primary care is currently facing and what the sector should celebrate. This is Reynald Castañeda with the latest installment in the New Zealand Doctor series, Primary Thinking. In a telephone interview, I began by asking Dr. Peterson what he thought had changed for the better in primary care in the past decade.
Well, I think in the last decade or thereabouts, and it's actually slightly more, we've had the instigation of the IPA movement, which morphed into PHOs, much greater ability to provide the sort of population health focus within practice as well as the personal care, which we'd always done in general practice. We've also had increased vocational registration, which is a quality marker. I think that it shows that you've gone through the processes required to achieve the standard the profession itself has set for practicing independently as a general practitioner. While there's been a bit of debate about it, we've had the practice accreditation in terms of Cornerstone, which also is a marker of quality within general practice. I support Cornerstone overall. It has its faults, and highlight particularly is its cost at the moment, more particularly the fact that there is no incentive really for practices to spend the money to get registration. I think there are lots of practices out there who would meet the requirements of Cornerstone who aren't taking part in the process because there's no financial incentive to do so. So I think we do need to look at ways of actually rewarding practices for proving that they are a quality organisation. One of the things that comes to mind is the response of the profession to Pharmac. You know, when Pharmac first started, which is more than a decade ago, it was almost universally hated by clinicians because it limited their choice in terms of medications they could prescribe to their patients. Over the subsequent years, Pharmac has shown that it actually does have appropriate mechanisms to make sure that the medications that they're subsidising are appropriate, and when they're bringing in generics, that they are, for the most part, bioequivalent and shown to be.
So what urgently needs to change, and how do you think this can change?
Well, I think one of the problems for general practice at the moment is the access for our patients to our services. I think there is increasing difficulty, certainly with the very low cost access, which we see as being a very poor targeting mechanism for health subsidies. How would I change very low cost access? I'd get rid of it, personally, because it's practice-based, it's geographically based, it's not based on individual patient need. And for us to wisely use the subsidy that the government provides, it needs to be targeted at a patient level. Need to go back to a system of individual targeting, and I think that, you know, community services cards were certainly a useful adjunct in that. I believe with the technology that we've got today in terms of IT connectivity, we can actually should be able to develop a system of subsidy that's more even better and have several more tiers than the community services card. I'd also make the suggestion that the quantum of the subsidy has actually diminished again over time. 10 years or so, the value of the subsidy has dropped off, partly because it just hasn't kept up with inflation, despite the fact that it is adjusted annually, and that a further indication that health inflation has always been greater than the general background inflation. We've seen a significant increase in consultation rates, which has only just recently come to the surface in terms of, you know, the number of consultations, and that subsidy under capitation is having to be spread further. The overall value of the subsidy has dropped. For some sectors, the $17.50 payment that's, you know, admittedly it's a maximum under the very low cost access, that $17.50 is actually a barrier think the subsidy needs to be increased. We certainly need to look at targeting those subsidies to people who really need it. Because, as I said, some groups, $17.50 is a disincentive that they, you know, they just don't have that degree of disposable income. Yeah. And I'm certainly not arguing for removing a co-payment, and certainly not arguing for the removal of the ability to charge a co-payment. But I think the value of that co-payment needs to be looked at, and I think that we need greater level of subsidy for significant proportions.
So what do you think of the government's approach to primary care?
To be honest, I'm starting to doubt that they have one. I think that, well, the national government, when it came in, was actually very responsive and did some very good things in terms of encouraging clinical governance and adjusting subsidies, and they don't seem to, you know, since the primary healthcare strategy, which was published in 2000, we haven't had an update of that. And I think that there are a lot of things that we need to look at much more. The government has pushed the better, sooner, more convenient, and the integrated healthcare centres, but we haven't really had a definition of what is an integrated healthcare centre, and we certainly haven't had any incentives for practices or for organisations to actually establish those. I think there are several huge issues for health, and I think the affordability of healthcare going into the future has certainly got to rank top in that. The second difficulty is to do with workforce. Have a significant problem at the moment with distribution in most cases, but we're still very short of GPs all around the country, and there are some other specialty areas as well that we have significant shortages in. And the college have produced the data which shows that actually we are facing an increasing workforce problem, despite the fact that we're graduating significantly more doctors than we used to. There is going to be a period of time in 10 years or so, probably less than that, where a substantial part of our current general practice workforce looks to retire or looks to reduce their hours. And so we do face a significant problem with that, so we need to be encouraging this, you know, sort of quite a significant increase in the number of doctors being trained. We need to make sure that they go into general practice. And how do we do that? Well, we can't force them. We've got to incentivise them. Well, I think there are a number of ways, and dare I say it, the most important thing that encourages or that people get job satisfaction from is actually feeling as though they're valued and feeling as though they're doing a good job. So that's the number one thing, is to actually raise the profile of general practice. You then need to look at the hours that people work and the lifestyle that's involved in that. And I think we're facing the situation where the days of the sort of GP who worked 60 hours a week and was on call for his patients all the time has passed, and the new generation of doctors do want change in their work-life balance than those of us perhaps who have been there for a while. So we need to look at the way that our GPs are employed and actually encourage them that they're not signing up for 60 hours a week and being constantly on call for the next 30 years. We need to look at the sort of career structure for GPs, so that we get away from the sort of situation which happened in the past and still does to an extent now, where you join a general practice, you know, in your early 30s perhaps, maybe even earlier, and you can expect to do the same job and be remunerated in exactly the same way for the next 30 years. So there's no sort of job progression, there's no recognition of experience in that, and I guess as a sector, I'm not blaming the government for this one at all, because I think this is actually something that we've created for ourselves. I think the GPs as a group need to look at that and say, well, how are we remunerating ourselves? and what are the incentives to sort of go up the ladder, if you like. And thirdly, and I think it is thirdly, we actually need to look at the actual remuneration for our GPs and actually pay them a reasonable income for the work that they do, because I think, you know, again, we're getting to the situation now where GP incomes are starting to fall behind again.
This is Reynald Castaneda for New Zealand Doctor.